T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, what a day in Chicago. It was so much fun. Can't wait to talk about it with you for the next 4 hours. It is the Spiegel and Parkin Show. Good morning, Spiegs.
How did you hold up physically, mentally? Because we did a radio show, and then you walked around with a sandwich board for a while. We took some Facebook Live videos. You dancing with the Dixieland Cubs band in the park was my personal favorite.
Glad you enjoyed that.
I did. And then that incredible, intense, emotional roller coaster of a baseball game, which was amazing. And I know you stayed for the whole thing. You're watching Wade Davis from the concourse as you get ready to run for the red line, right?
I got the first red line after the game. Got into a skybox like for the Cubs game, and then like escape and watch the 8 innings in the box, and then watch the last 3 outs from Wade Davis from much worse seats than I had for the 8 innings.
It was
amazing.
So you're there watching Wade Davis. I'm in the crowd for the Cubs game, which was just an intense experience and delightful, crazy atmosphere. But then you sprint and get down to Soldier Field. And did you have to run from the Roosevelt red line stop? What did you do?
Well, so by the time I get to the platform at Addison, they're still singing Go Cubs Go. So, I mean, that's how quickly I got to the red line.
Okay.
So I'm on the first red line to Roosevelt. A guy tweets me and says, I'm on your train, divvy bikes on me. And I'm doing a Periscope from the L. And so people are just getting my hot Cubs takes. Like, on the red line.
Thank God.
Yeah, they needed them.
We don't survive without those.
This take is on fire!
We don't survive without those in the 10 minutes after a ball game.
Yeah. I'm just like panting and ranting, and I don't even know what the hell I was saying.
I would have switched train cars immediately.
Yeah.
As soon as the doors open, boom, out into the next car. Like you're doing the crazy guys in there screaming at you?
Right.
All right, I got to get out of here. Right,
there's a man talking to his phone about the Cubs game while he's panting, and he's strange.
I was like, how about Edwards? Redemption?
Yeah.
Harper? Like, I don't even know what I was saying. I was cursing a lot. Like, these Periscope videos were weird.
And then you get to the incredibly convenient Red Line Roosevelt stop, and you have to, what, run 15 minutes to get to Soldier Field?
Yeah, this guy finds me, but then the divvy stand is out of divvy bikes, and so we start walking, and it was his birthday, and the only reason why that's relevant to the story is he came up and he said, you know, I felt connected to you since you got the job in Chicago because I too am an 85 Bears Super Bowl baby. True story. Like yesterday was his birthday. His wife was out of town. He's like, so I'm just doing the doubleheader for my birthday.
So his parents had a little halftime is for lovin' of the Super Bowl
Not halftime. They were in New Orleans.
Oh, boy.
Drunken Bourbon Street baby. He's telling me his conception story as I'm going to Soldier Field. And the dude was...
Do you have any video of that, sir?
He was great. We got along. But then I was like, I got to go because I don't know if we're going to make kickoff at this time. So I start...
You can't miss it. Bears got the ball first, man. You can't miss first possession of the true era.
I start yogging, and I then pull up the Periscope again.
I believe it is a soft J.
Yeah, I think so. So I pull up the Periscope, and now I'm Periscoping while running through the crowd at Soldier Field.
Nobody needs to know your thoughts that much. Nobody!
I want to share with the audience. I want to share. I'm doing the double header. I'm doing the double dip.
Oh my God.
And like half the comments are just about like how I'm the skinniest person in the world with a double chin. Because like the only way you can film a Periscope
from below
is from below when you're holding your phone. So I mean the comments are just
You need to wear one of those helmets that has the little pole sticking out of it so you can film it from above.
It's absurd. And then Soldier Field is the least convenient place in this city. It has to be. Because I come up and like...
Boy, I got to think about all the inconvenient places in the city. But in terms of sporting venues...
Oh, well, in terms of sporting venues, it's not close.
I don't think it's close.
It's not close.
Because I mean, I know you. It's difficult to park around Wrigley, but there's some options, and that's just been known for so long. It's just, you know, there are other ways to do it. Soldier Field, you have to, like you did, walk slash run from either Red Line, either Roosevelt or Cermak these days, or it's a 15-minute walk from downtown winding through Museum Campus underneath Lakeshore Drive.
And just all the pathways are so narrow, and if you leave in a car, you leave single file to get back onto Lakeshore Drive, and it's just chaos. Like, there's ramps and overpasses and underpasses.
But at least it has a giant spaceship stuck right there in between the columns.
At least it doesn't hold any noise, so it's one of the quietest stadiums in the NFL. So it has that going for it. So now I'm like sprinting around Soldier Field to find the media entrance that, of course, I come up on the wrong side of to get in. And then I didn't Periscope after the game because I was just tired.
Well, that's the thing. Look, after the emotional intensity of the Cubs thing and then getting home just in time for kickoff for me, because I'm driving on Lakeshore Drive, and I'm like, all right, I'm past the Cubs traffic. This should be good. It should be easy now to get back to the South Loop. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm in the Bears traffic. I'm an idiot. So, you know, you hustle home and you get there. And there was excitement about the Mitch debut. There were some incredible throws, some phenomenal incompletions. Just, you know,
beautiful incompletions.
I would watch a highlight reel of his first half incompletions.
Sure. And there weren't many. He started the game 7 of 9.
Yeah, right. But I mean, like, the ones that were called back.
Oh, sure.
You know?
McBride push off on the OPI. Rolling right, dropping it in on a dime.
That was a freaking dime. I would watch those again and again and again.
Also, Trey McBride, if you're going to cheat and push off, at least catch the ball to reward Mitch for the throw, but that's neither here nor there.
So, but then it settled into a Bears game.
Yeah, it was a Bears game.
That's the thing. Like, it started as this excitement for Mitch and everything, and it settled into a broken down Sam Bradford and then a Case Keenum led Vikings team and a Bears roster, which is just so freaking barren of talent. It got really boring. It got lifeless to watch. It started to feel like a chore to watch.
Oh,
that
poor
game.
You. I disagree.
I don't mean like my job chore. I just mean, like, this has been a long, wonderful day, and I'm not enjoying watching the Bears. And then it got exciting.
I disagree with
you. Then it got fun again. It got fun again. When it got to 17-17 and they score the touchdown and they have the awesome 2-point conversion, it got fun again and they got some energy. But there was a stretch in there where you were reminded that there are lots of problems on this team. I don't think Mitch Trubisky is one of them, but there are a lot of other problems on this team.
Having the franchise quarterback of the future seemingly on the roster made the fact that it was a 3-2 game for a large portion of it more palatable for me, because every time the Bears took a snap, I was interested in it. But obviously, John Fox having to get a delay of game after burning a timeout to avoid a delay of game.
Oh my
God. Was pretty Bears. All right. And like all the first half penalties, they had nearly 50 yards of penalties in the first half and all of those things. Like, I'm with you. It was not a great game. It was not very aesthetically pleasing, but Mitch Trubisky noticeably is good,
man.
Like, and that,
have hope, everyone. Hold on to it, feel it strong, embrace it. The accuracy of his throws on the run. And I know it's a limited game plan, and all of his on the run was to the right, and it was to buy him time, etc. But my goodness, the athleticism and the accuracy on the run is freaking special. Everybody has said it, and you could see it last night.
I thought so, too. Like, I just thought it was...
it's special.
It jumped off the page, if you will. And it was just... they're not good. It's one game. It was pretty much what we expected, right? Like, Everson Griffin gets the sack fumble. He's got, like, 7 sacks, one of the better pass rushers in the NFL. Harrison Smith, the top 3 safety in the NFL, baits him, gets the interception. Started out, like I said, 7 of 9 when the plays are scripted. Before we saw him with when there were game plans in the preseason and scripted plays, he looked good. As the game went on, he struggled more. Like, it wasn't an A+, But just, again, the eye test of does he have it?
Without a doubt. And you know who backed you up on that, by the way? Steve Young, long after the game last night, and I love listening to Steve Young talk about quarterbacks. I've been referring to it when we had the conversation, like, what is that eye test that we both feel like yeah. is there with Mitch? And I said, like, pocket presence. Like, I feel like I see that. Steve Young phrased it as this way, a sense of place. He's got a sense of place on the field in terms of wherever he is. His footwork makes sense. The way he moves around, got to get him some help. But Charles Woodson at the same time talking about the ball placement on the yeah. throws for the receivers. So Woodson and Young over the moon in terms of the hope and possibilities as you get a chance to look at this guy. And then them among everybody else saying, get the dude some help. That roster, man, I know all the injuries are here, but we're three drafts in, and Ryan Pace, you should have more in place than that.
I get it. I truly do. I will point to a few things for Ryan Pace on this one. He didn't think Trubisky was going to play for the majority of this season. He has saved quite a bit of salary cap space for next season, and he got his quarterback. And Leonard Floyd looked really good.
He did.
And Cody Whitehair, who we thought could have been a Pro Bowl or All-Pro, has seemed to regress. And he does have two running backs in the backfield. And he does have an average to slightly above-average offensive line. And he does have an above-average front seven. If this team, this offseason, gets...
Two wide receivers.
Yeah, I agree with you. A wide receiver in the draft mm-hmm. and a wide receiver in free agency.
And then who's the third wide receiver? Because you still might need three. We'll maybe Cam Meredith.
They got right.
Maybe somebody evolves during the course of this year.
We'll figure that out. But they need a top two pass catching offensive weapons.
Mm-hmm.
He needs another player in the secondary, and he needs another pass rusher. You could stand to upgrade right tackle. You could always stand to do other things. But it's a huge offseason for Ryan Pace, obviously, and we still have 11 more games to go. But also, if you upgrade your coach and quarterback masks a ton of problems in this league. And they're going to have money to spend, and they got a mobile, young, cost-controlled, mm-hmm. accurate, strong-armed quarterback. I don't think the Bears are as far away as everybody else
does.
Oh,
boy. I
don't.
I think they need so much help on that roster around him. And I think you're counting on some things in that assessment there from you, which may not be in place by the end of the year. We'll have to see where we are.
Look at their cap space. They have money to spend.
No, I don't mean the additions, but I mean the stuff as it is right now. We'll have to see where they are. We got 11 more games to watch. This was teaching game number one. The context of how you watch them is completely different now because it's Trubisky and it's instead of Glennon. Like the same turnovers that would have driven us crazy and been screaming about them in terms of Glennon, if these were last week, instead they're teachable moments, right? We look at them and we're like, those are teachable moments for Mitchell Trubisky.
And by the way, I'm not saying they're not that far away from a Super Bowl title, okay? But in terms of
7-9, 8-8, 9-7.
Playoff hopes, man. Mm. Playoff hopes. They're not that far away if Trubisky's good. And I think he's going to be good. And I think that they're going to replace the coach in the offseason. Well, so you upgrade a coach and quarterback with how the NFL works in parity and it being a year-to-year league and all the turnover, I don't think they're that far away.
They got a lot of football nuggets and stuff to get to from that game, as well as a ton of baseball. You mentioned the redemptive moment for Edwards. There was redemptive moments for lots of people yesterday.
Oh, it was an unbelievably fun game, if not a really, really weird and sloppy game. Let's go through the rundown quickly. We'll have your voicemail. At the end of this hour, we have Jim Miller at 10, Big Cat Williams at 11, and Joe Madden at noon. It's brought to you by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma, get knowing. 312-644-6767. It's Bears Monday on a Tuesday with the Cubs facing. They can eliminate the Nationals tonight and move on to their third straight NLCS. Very busy day at Spiegel and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
That's Joe Madden and Anthony Rizzo talking about Rizzo's reaction to his game-winning hit. The audio brought to you by Jimmy John's. Jimmy John's is the official sandwich for people who hate to wait. Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meet. Obviously, he did not, scorch that ball. jam shot and it falls some finds some grass in the outfield. But I would say this, Bryant's the best player on the Cubs, but Rizzo's the guy I want up in a big spot.
He's the best hitter on this team.
He's great.
It's the best approach. He's Joey Votto in training wheels if you need to compare him to the very, very best. But he's Anthony freaking Rizzo. He's just very, very good, very smart, chokes up, uses the whole field, and refuses to give in and takes it deeply personally when you do stuff like that. And this is the third or fourth time Dusty Baker has done this in this series alone. Pitched to him with first base open.
Jed had a great line with Mullion Hanley this morning, or an explanation more than a line, about why he maybe doesn't get a ton of attention. He's like, well, we had the MVP in Chris Bryant. We have a Cy Young winner in Jake Arrieta. Mm. We've been winning as a team. The all-star position is at first base in the National League is really tough with Votto and Goldschmidt and Freeman and all these guys. And he's like, it's just tough, but we know how good Anthony Rizzo is. And if you watch us every day, you know how good he is. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly why he doesn't get more attention.
For sure.
That's the exact explanation of it.
And yet, if you've watched enough at bats, you've seen him and seen his evolution over the past, 4 years, where he will go the opposite way. He's not up there looking to blast it and getting, you know, sucked in by a reliever or by a pitcher to swing wildly and get himself in trouble. He's just not. Driven by disrespect, sometimes people create these narratives, but Dusty has handed it to him. On a platter here. No, not blasted, obviously. But man, all those different redemptive moments. You mentioned Edwards getting the eighth inning again and striking out Harper.
And then you want to talk about a emotion. Show of expression and emotion. Now, mm-hmm. Edwards does that all the time. Like, it was more rare and out of character for Rizzo. Edwards, we talked about it with him at Del Frisco's, about how he, like, you know, is the opposite of a guy like Kyle Hendricks or Wade Davis. Actually, in the context of him, it was Wade Davis, which was what made him laugh at Del Frisco's. Mm-hmm. He's always doing fist pumps, but that one was like double-handed fist pumps the entire way back to the dugout.
I think the loudest moment and most emotional moment was when Almora got the hit. Almora got the hit to tie it up after the sequence where Scherzer is pulled by Dusty and then brings in the lefty Solis, and Madden does the right and obvious thing in bringing in Almora, and Madden wins that face-off right there with Dusty completely.
And you've got to remember, a huge part of this is they like each other so much. They were doing it to bail out Quintana and Schwarber.
For sure.
That's a huge part of it.
They're all doing it to bail out each other no matter what, like picking each other up. But for Almora to have that moment after what has been, you know, at times a frustrating year for him, wanting to play more. The other night, Martin gets in instead of him in game one. Almora does get in game two, but, you know, there he was. That moment was just awesome. And then there was even more. There were more redemptive moments all through the game.
Dusty Baker reacting to Rizzo yesterday. A couple people texting in. And what do you mean bail out Quintana? They had to bail out Strope. Pick up Quintana. The guys said it all across the clubhouse yesterday, reading the comments. It was, you know, it was a tough spot. Quintana could have been in line for a loss in his first playoff start, and he gets pulled after having a masterful game, but they pick him up.
I think bail out or pick up usually has the context of somebody screwed up, and Quintana didn't screw up. Yeah, you know,
no, of course. Schwarber has the, you know, two errors on the same play,
right,
and three bases and the whole thing. Fine, fair enough. But they
win it for him.
Win it for
each other.
Whatever. Right. You guys know what I mean, and you know what they were talking about it after the game. This is a very close knit team, and so I think also, like, people are like, oh wow, Cubs are showing a lot of emotion for a division series win. Did you watch that game?
It's a huge game. It's game three in a tied series, which is going to define very likely the way that the rest of the series is going to go. And it was incredibly tense the entire way.
After blowing game two.
Yes.
And then coming back and almost blowing game three, overcoming being no hit deep into the game.
Yes.
And just watch the rest of the baseball playoffs. It's not unique to the Cubs.
No.
Like,
it's insanity all over the place.
The culture of baseball is to celebrate postseason wins like crazy because it's a regular season game magnified by 10 or 20.
And the relentless tension and suspense of a 3.5 hour session in the afternoon when everything could change on any single pitch, and then it finally does, that's when the explosions come. Just a crazy atmosphere. So Rizzo has that moment. Edwards has a moment. Almora has a moment. Ben Zobrist, who I've been all over and people were all over everywhere yesterday. I saw people like, why is Zobrist Zobrist out there. And then he makes the defensive error at second base to cause Quintana to have, I think, three extra pitches. And Hayward makes a great catch in right field. And
Hayward and Jay and with Jay. Really nice catches in the outfield.
Absolutely. So, but then Zobrist had two redemptive moments. It makes a great defensive play. Later on in the eighth inning, on Trey Turner to lead off that inning for Carl Edwards, and gets the hit. Got the hit before that, the double.
To break up the no-hitter.
To break up the no-hitter and essentially bounce Schwarber. Schwarber was going to get a chance at his redemptive moment right there. Schwarber with a chance to come up, but Dusty pulls Max Scherzer. But just so people know, make no mistake, the reason Dusty pulled Max Scherzer, because he didn't want him to face Kyle Schwarber the third time through the lineup. And he said exactly that. Schwarber is a scary dude.
Yeah, he had a 450-foot foul ball, and you talked about Almora's emotion. Almora and Schwarber, they're like best friends on the team. So Almora picks up his friend who has the error, and he's screaming back to the dugout looking right at Schwarber.
Right. And then, you know, and the Schwarber value, he wanted that moment. I wanted to see him come up, but it ends up being Dusty afraid of Schwarber, even with Scherzer, afraid of Schwarber, and you could obviously debate that one. I'm sure Nationals fans are. Takes out Scherzer for Solis, and then Almora gets his chance. Just, you know, crazy stuff. And then Wade Davis is Wade freaking Davis.
That, 1-2-3. He's amazing.
That guy.
He's a robot. He's a cyborg.
Best postseason ERA as a reliever, minimum 25 innings in the history of baseball. Mariano Rivera, 0.70, is second. Wade Davis, 0.31, is first. He has the best postseason
by
ERA,
far.
Minimum 25 innings, by a bunch. His career in the postseason as a reliever, okay, he made one start long ago, but as a reliever in the postseason, 3-0, 5 saves, that 0.31 ERA, a whip of 0.716. It's ridiculous. In the postseason, in 29 and a third innings, dude has allowed one earned run, and it came on an RBI groundout by Josh Hamilton in the ALDS in 2014. That's the earned run Wade Davis has given up as a reliever in the postseason.
He is
cyborg
in many ways, the Kyle Hendricks of relief pitchers. Not in terms of his stuff, but in terms of his control and his demeanor, it's amazing. It's just, he just attacks you. He never misses his spot, and he is totally unfazed by any moment.
It's just stunning. And yeah, you know,
he's fun to watch.
And if they move on, he's never given up an earned run in the LCS in the World Series. He's just zero earned runs.
0.0.
That is a way to go through life, son.
Yes, it is. And oh yeah, by the way, because we're taking it for granted, we didn't mention Hendricks on yesterday's show until late off of Friday. Quintana.
Dude.
Like, good for him, man.
It should be talked about even more. Just the moment was not too big.
All of them.
Got out of several different situations that were caused by defense behind him. Might have been able to get out to get Zimmerman out that third time, but Madden didn't want to go with the third time. You can quibble with that decision if you want, but he wanted to get the strikeout with the man on third. Either way, Quintana was freaking brilliant. Good for him, because that's been a question his whole life. How would he do in a moment like this? All season, how would he do in a moment like this? He matched Max Scherzer.
And if Arrieta goes today, it's four great starts from four starters, and maybe the Cubs will be a little bit of a throwback and not overly reliant on their bullpen, and they'll be reliant on their four starting pitchers. Now, Joe wanted to give Strope the spot because he decided before the inning that he was going to give Strope that spot, and it didn't change when it came up. So he had a plan, and he saw it through, and it didn't end up working.
Yeah.
And you're going to need relief pitchers at some point in the postseason. So like, if that's the spot that you've chosen, you're going to use Strope. I have no problem with them doing it there. But clearly, the Cubs' starting rotation is something that, you know, other than Wade Davis, you have more confidence in the starters right now than the rest of the bullpen.
Yeah, you need them to go deep, and so far they have, and maybe they'll even go deeper. You know, there's supposed to be rain starting at about 5 o'clock. Jed Hoyer was on with Mully and Hanley this morning. Say both teams wish they could play at 1 o'clock. They're instead going to start it at 4:30. But man, it's like 100% chance of rain at 6 and 7 and 8. So I don't know if that means they're just going to stick around and try to get this one in, or whether they'll call it at some point and play here on the scheduled off day tomorrow. But it's either going to be a very, very long night at Wrigley or an odd cancellation after waiting for a while.
I'm a Cubs fan. I'm cool with rain delays. We'll hear your voicemails coming up from Bears and Cubs, and we got Jim Miller at 10 and Big Cat at 11 and Joe Madden at 12 at Spiegel and Parkins on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back on Spiegel and Parkins, 15 minutes from Jim Miller. This segment brought to you by 24/7 Diabetic Health Hotline. Attention diabetics, now you can get your testing supplies delivered to your home. Free delivery and a free meter. Call the 24/7 Diabetic Health Hotline, 800-808-5181, 800-808-5181. The Spiegel and Parkins voicemail number is 312-729-3965. Jay Zawoski, as always, we like to check in with you before we play the voicemails because I know it's your favorite task as executive producer of this show. How'd it go today?
Very good. A lot of singing on these voicemails. I think our songs are catching on somehow. People had their own song ideas for us and some entertaining stuff. I think this is...
We do need track 5 for the Mitch album. That's side 2, track 1 for the Mitch album. Got some ideas percolating already.
I think you actually sort of hinted at what we should do in the first segment. You don't even know
I do know it. I like to hint sometimes, but keep it low.
Look at you.
All right. So how many voicemails? How many did we go through?
I think we had 33.
33. Yeah. On a weeknight. Not bad. All right. Let's hear them, Campy.
Welcome to the Spiegel and Parkins voicemail line. This is Malcolm from Peoria. I made a little song on what would happen if Glennon started against the Vikings. And then he asked Fox, did I play all right? And Fox says, Mike, you look like tonight.
Sam from Berwyn, but Rizzo, he humped the heck out of that hair before every hit, man. Italian in them, but we're just horny men.
You better run, little Danny. You better run fast, Soldier Field, little Danny.
Fine!
This is Scott from Sterling. I like big butts and I cannot lie. Mike Glennon's a hell of a guy. Throws a pick, he makes me sick. Oh, what a Now Mitch is running, yeah, throwing, yeah. He's moving that ball through the gate doing 98. Now watch those Bears roll 10-4.
Hey, this is Matt in St. Charles. What in the hell is John Fox doing? Like, okay, we're going to call a timeout to figure out a play. Then we're going to send the punt unit out there. And then wait. Offense, get back out there, delay a game. What in the f*** is he doing? Seriously.
Leonard Floyd's awesome, but as banged up as Sam Bradford is, I'm pretty sure he'd get a sack and a half tonight with just his penis.
Look. This is Sam from Berwyn. I'm not even mad that Trubisky had a sack fumble. It's fine. He's learning. This kid is playing great. Holy f***. This is our future against this great-ass defense. This first half, he's played great. Hey, Spiegel and Parkins, we should smoke weed together. Peace.
This is John Mack. Wake me up when Glennon is in. Wake me up when Glennon is in. Good. It's 3-2. What the hell is this?
Bob from Joliet again. I got track 2 to the Parkinson's album. Monday has come and gone. I've heard Parkinson's sing way too long. Wake me up when Barry Reisner's in.
Hey, this is Jim in Arlington Heights. The Bears' offensive line can literally gargle my prostate.
Yeah, this is Eric from Oak Lawn, and if I was in a room with Osama bin Laden, Hitler, and the Bears' wide receiving corps, and I had 2 bullets, I would shoot their wide receiving corps twice. They suck.
This is Josh calling from the 815. Man, that kid could ball. Trubisky could ball. This makes listening to your bad singing Parkins worth it. I can listen to those songs all day long now. This kick your ball.
The better the Vikings record, the worse off the Packers are. Fox is closer to being fired, and the Bears are getting a better draft number.
End of mailbox.
Wow. they should leave the singing to the professionals.
Who are those? Ah! Who are those exactly?
I don't know. Wow.
Wake me up when Barry Reisner's in is a game winner.
That was funny. That was funny. It seemed a little harsh with what that guy was going to do with his bullets. I don't know.
Yeah.
Seemed a little harsh.
I thought by harsh you meant the dude who's offering an opportunity for the offensive line to gargle his prostate. Are we allowed to say that?
Came out of left field with that one.
That's an awkward image in all sorts of ways.
Lots of invitations were extended there. That was weird. Cool.
You did get the loss. You got Mitch showing some promise with the loss to go along with it. If you're looking for that better draft pick, and if you're looking for John Fox to be embarrassed, there was plenty of opportunities for that.
We'll talk to Jim Miller about if he's now a Mitch Trubisky guy after being a Glennon guy at 10 o'clock. And, one thing I just can't shake from last night in my travels. It's Spiegel and Parkins on The Score. We're back before 10 o'clock.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back in, Spiegel and Parkins on The Score. In 5 minutes, we'll talk to Jim Miller. Hour and five, Big Cat Williams. 2 hours and 5 minutes, Joe Maddon.
Looking forward to talking to Mills about Trubisky last night, about the skill set on display, about the play calling, about the mistake that can be obviously a teachable moment with the interception to Harrison Smith at the end.
I had some audio for you that I don't think you've heard yet, assuming that you were not watching my extra Periscope shows. I know you support me in my dreams of becoming a multimedia star, but...
I was not watching your Periscope.
So okay.
I was
4 hours a day is enough for you, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm good. Okay. Actually, no, we hung around a little bit yesterday, me and Christine, watching you do the sandwich board thing. In fact, on one of the Facebook Lives that we did yesterday, you were looking for somebody to dance with, and you grabbed my girlfriend.
That's true.
Because you were out of moves, is what you said.
I was out of dance moves, and I figured a woman I know as opposed to a stranger, probably easier to get away with.
Yeah, with the camera rolling.
With the camera rolling.
Not going to turn you down.
Right. I was hopeful. I didn't know if how embarrassed she would be or whatever, but I appreciate it. I have like three moves on the dance floor, one of the three not able to do with the sandwich board.
Go check them out, though, because I think you gave all of them, all of your possible moves
that's right.
while dancing to the Dixieland Quartet in the park over at Wrigley.
So this moment occurred on the Addison Redline platform as I was doing Periscope number two, getting ready to take the train from Wrigley to Soldier Field. You'll hear my excitement for being recognized, followed by the humbling.
So there's a fan that just
fan, you do sports talk, man, cool, like great, I love your opinions, it's great, like good luck, go to the Bears game, I know you're going. What's your name?
Did he know you from Sports Talk Live, from TV shows?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
What did he say? Because what was he?
He said you do sports talk, right? So I guess I assumed that was sports talk radio.
I have experienced that in the past when I was doing Sports Talk Live a bunch. There's some people who just like wherever they work. They see you and they might hear opinions, but they might not catch the chyron on the bottom technical term where they put up your name or whatever. They might not know who you are. Per se. Whatever.
I think I played that off okay, right? Like, I wasn't too hurt. Like, I wasn't too hurt to be recognized but not really known. What do you think? What do you think, Campy? You think I passed that one off?
A very Cutler-esque.
Really? Really? It was just solid dismissal? Okay. I buried my true feelings. I'm known for those sort of things. You want to take a quick call?
Let's do it.
Kirk, you're on The Score. 60 seconds.
Hey, man.
Okay.
You're on.
What's up, buddy?
You're on.
How's it going? This is Kirk from St. Pete.
Yes.
I just wanted to say Trubisky looked, serious last night. And I wanted to talk about real quick how Zach Miller could have caught that pass that was intercepted. He didn't really box out the guy. He didn't try to gwiggy it. Whatever you guys.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, there was not a lot of guagi, but it really wasn't an opportunity for that. Miller's just trying to make a move as the play is extended, and Trubisky telegraphed that completely, and I think Harrison Smith baited him.
I do, too. I think Harrison Smith overplayed Miller to the sideline.
Pro Bowl safety.
To try to get the throw, and then he jumped the route. It was a really, really good play.
I liked Trubisky directing Zach Miller open on the touchdown. But that throw was a little bit short, and he's fortunate that one was not picked.
With that deflection. But then he did the Jordan shrug and made up for it for me. I was willing to give him a positive grade on Pro Football Focus because he did the shrug.
And then the absolutely gorgeous two-point conversion play.
We can't talk about that yet because we're up against it. Like I could do an hour on that play.
It's freaking
gorgeous.
Just awesome.
Gorgeous. No break after the update. We'll talk to Jim Miller about Trubisky on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.